focusing on the issues that face seniors and their families. Welcome to Today's Kapuna. Now, here's your host, Percy Ihara.
Aloha, and welcome to everybody. This is, was June 28th, 2008. I'm asking Wes Lum, my guest today. This is Percy Ihara with Today's Kapuna. We're here each Wednesday, Saturday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. It's a live call-in show. So if you want to call in today, the phone number for Oahu is 521-8383, and the toll-free number is 1-888-565-8383. And welcome to our guest that came on, so still on board from the Tooth Talk, which I was listening to earlier today, which is kind of interesting, with Dr. Masunaga. And also Rowan Young on the Estate Planning Guy. He's gave a lot of good examples that I listen to just about every week now because he's before our show. So welcome if you're still listening on. Like I said, you can call in any time. Just probably don't want to call in like 5 to 5. But we're here all afternoon. I'm here today with Wes Lum from the State of Hawaii's Executive Office on Aging. Wes, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Percy.
And today we're going to talk about caregiving. Wes has started what's called the Hawaii Family Caregiver Coalition. And really, it's not a nonprofit. It's just an organization that a group of people get together, right? Why don't you, explain that to us?
Well, it's actually more of a network in many ways. When I first started doing this, just to correct you for a bit, I'm actually with the Center on Aging at the University of Hawaii.
All right.
But we have a lot of contracts with our state's executive office on aging. And one of the projects that I work on is called the Caregivers Resource Initiative. And the whole purpose of the project is to create a system of support for family caregivers, people like us who haven't been trained or educated in how to provide care for older adults when our parents get older and need help. And, when I first started in this job, I quickly realized how complex it was, and knowing that I couldn't do it alone.
Sure.
And knowing that this was a statewide, it's a project that's statewide, I realized early on that we needed to work together and pull our resources together, and that was the reason why we started the coalition. And we started maybe about 3 years ago now.
And how long have you been working with the university? You're actually on loan to the Executive Office of Aging from the University of Hawaii.
That's one way to look at it. Because of the contracts that we have. Okay. That's why I think a lot of people get me mixed up. But I've been there for about maybe 4 or 5 years I think. So one of the projects that comes out of the Caregivers Resource Initiative is the Hawaii Family Caregiver Coalition. And, we started, about 3 years ago. And, the whole mission is we're trying to improve the quality of life for those who give and receive care. Most of our projects right now, we focus in on education and outreach and advocacy. And a lot of the projects have really, in many ways, focused on advocacy because we realized that to be able to make changes statewide, we really have to impact the different types of public policies that are being generated, either the new policies or we're trying to amend the current policies or maybe even trying to, get rid of some of the bad ones.
Well, what I like about what you're doing is you're trying to get everybody involved. So what Wes does is, if you want to email us or you can email Wes, basically he is blast out emails about what's going on in town, if there's an event, things at the Capitol, which we'll talk about in a little bit, anything to do with the family and caregiving, right?
Yes. We even have resource fairs for families, and that's stuff that we've done at the Capitol. We've actually also focused on aside from the advocacy, which I'm sure we'll get back to later, but, we also developed what was called a family caregiver kit for businesses, because we know that so many people are working, and balancing the responsibilities of elder care, and that really takes a toll on families. Mm-hmm. There's a number, it's like, I think it's about, let's see, what is it? It's about $639,000, I believe, that a caregiver loses over a lifetime in lost wages, in the pensions that they don't contribute to, in Social Security.
If not more,
because, they're caregiving and they've had to reduce their work hours, they've had to quit their jobs, so we're trying to support the families through the work. So we're trying to arm employers with the resources. We don't expect them to know where to direct their employees for help. But, you know, by having this kit in the workplace, should managers or human resource personnel encounter an employee who is caregiving, at least they can point them in the right direction. You know, now, that's another
one,
resource.
Is that the one AARP put together?
It was put together by AARP, the Executive Office on Aging, and the various county offices on aging. And it covers topics from, you know, caregiving and grandparents raising grandchildren, Medicare, Medicaid, long-term care, death and dying.
And so if they wanted to get that, they'd get it from the Office on Aging, or can they get it from AARP?
Well, at the moment, it's currently for businesses. It's for employers. Okay. That's the one thing. We actually had a grant from the Hawaii Community Foundation to put together this kit and distribute it, but the monies ran out. Mm-hmm. And so we actually don't have any more kits to distribute. However, if you contact the Executive Office on Aging, we do have kind of like an abbreviated version of the kit, a few good handouts about what workers can do. I'm sorry, managers can do. It's like a manager's handbook. Okay. And also an abbreviated version of all of the different the resources of where to go. Where do you start, basically?
Right. Well, they may not need the whole kit, but they just need maybe a portion of it. And the Office on Aging, Executive Office on Aging, is 586-0100.
That's correct.
The city and county has an excellent senior helpline as well, the Elderly Affairs Division. And that number is very easy as well. It's 768-7700. So even though you may not be able to get the kit today, there are numbers you can call within a state or city that will be able to provide you a lot of information. And, you know, Wes, I was telling you earlier, that's the reason why we do the show here. It's just a way to provide information, resources, contacts, names, numbers. We're not trying to sell any products here. I guess the information is free.
Yeah. Right?
Okay.
But since you're mentioning the Elderly Affairs Division, I wanted to just mention, and we're talking about businesses, Elderly Affairs Division has a great program. It's called We Care. And they actually have someone to go in to actually do kind of like a consultant on elder care issues. So they'll come in, they'll do an assessment of the workplace, they'll work with your managers, and then they'll tell you where you can improve and where you can get the resources. And because Elderly Affairs Division is really like the one-stop shop for Honolulu, they have all the, you know, resources at their fingertips. And so they're able to then help employers make it easier for them and employees. So it's a We Care program.
Oh, I didn't. We had Lei Shimizu on here a few weeks ago, and we can't talk about that. But at least now we know.
Yeah.
You learn something every week. Actually, for those of you listening out there, we are statewide, and every county has a office on aging.
That's correct.
And I can give you those. I'll give you those numbers right now. Actually, for the Maui County Office on Aging, it's 270-7755. For Hawaii County, you actually have two. You have the Kona area, which is 327-3597, and the Hilo side, which is 961-8600. And lastly, Kauai, it's 241-4470. So if you're listening there, you don't have to give your name. You don't have to give your number. If you have a question about anything regarding aging issues, you can give us a call. If I don't know the answer, Wes doesn't know the answer, we will definitely give you in that direction and a phone number to call. So, Wes, what kind of projects have we got going on?
Well, hopefully maybe some of you have seen it if you watch KHON's Elderhood Project. You know, we in November, which is Family Caregiver Month nationwide, one of the projects we worked with, Elder Elderhood Project, was the Family Caregiver Awards Program.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And we were able to recognize, the winners, Alzheimer's Association for the Education Award, Kukua Council for the Advocacy Award, and St. Francis Hospice for the Support Award. And then we also had individual caregivers who were recognized as outstanding caregivers for each county. And they were featured on air. And we also had a nice gift basket and plaque to give to them as well. And
what about this year?
This year we are actually going to be doing that again in November, again working with the Elderhood Project. And I think the difference is, the main change is that we're also going to be focusing in on recognizing grandparents raising grandchildren. And so organizations who are advocating for that population or supporting them through education, we're going to be recognizing organizations as well as individuals as well. So that's another shift, but a really important one, because that's often another area that we don't talk about as frequently.
Yeah, I was with four people today, four different families today, and two of the families brought their grandchildren.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they're not only taking care of the children, but also the grandchildren. And we're talking about Natutu?
Like Natutu is a great, fantastic resource. Yes.
You talked about Elderhood Project. If you don't know by now, Elderhood Project, which is hosted by Kirk Matthews, is on every Thursday morning on KHON Channel 3 TV. And they also actually replay the Elderhood Project at 5 o'clock on that Thursday afternoon. And also we want to give some time to the Genius of Aging, which is Monday morning on KGMB.
Yeah.
And they do it every Monday. They do a really good job over there. For more information, also Generations Magazine does a every month. I was at Zippy's yesterday. I saw it at Zippy's, and I believe it's at Long's as well. And some of the doctor's offices, a lot of the state and city, county, parks and recs, some of them have that. My show, which is a Today's Kupuna TV version of this show, and it's on every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. on Olelo's Channel 52. And I believe Kupuna Connections is still running on Channel 56.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the TV guide for that, Dr. Cullen Hayashida. We're going to be right back. Linda's telling us we've got to take a short break. We'll be right back after this message. This is Today's Kupuna.
This Saturday and every Saturday, join host Percy Ihara, a senior advocate who has over 17 years of experience as a mortgage professional, with Today's Kupuna, a weekly series focusing on important issues facing seniors and their families. Get involved. Share your thoughts. Call 521-8383 and toll free from the Neighbor Islands at 1-888-565-8383. It's Today's Kupuna on News Radio 830 KHVH. Don't miss it.
Check out Today's Kupuna on television every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. on Olelo's Channel 52. Just like Today's Kupuna on News Radio 830 KHVH, Percy Ihara will have interviews with guests in your community to discuss very important issues facing our Kupuna and their families. So hey, tell your friends and neighbors and spread the word. Today's Kupuna on Olelo Channel 52 and News Radio 830 KHVH. And check out KHVH830AM.com.
Hey, you with the rumbling tummy. What's for dinner tonight? My name's Sat, short for saturated fat. And I love it when you eat the foods I'm in, like cheeseburgers and pizza.
Move over, brother. I'm trans, the bad fat you've seen on the news. Might I tempt you with some crispy fried chicken and fluffy biscuits?
Come on, get into your cravings.
We can't wait to raise your bad cholesterol.
And clog up your arteries.
The Bad Fats Brothers. Don't let them break your heart. Learn more at AmericanHeart.org/facethefats.
Aloha, this is Brian Schatz, Executive Director of Helping Hands Hawaii, one of Oahu's largest social service agencies. We help hundreds of moms every month with diapers, beds, bus passes, desks, chairs, and whatever they need to keep their families together and their lives in order. We need your help. Please call the Helping Hands Community Clearinghouse if you have a household item to give away. We'll even come to pick it up. Call us at 536-7234 or visit HelpingHandsHawaii.org. Thanks.
Now back to Today's Kupuna with Percy Ihara. Call 521-8383 and toll free from the Neighbor Islands, 888-565-8383.
Welcome back. We're here with Wes Lum from the Executive Office on Aging. Should I say that, Wes? Or University of Hawaii? You got me all mixed up. Anyway, talking about the Hawaii Family Caregiver Coalition, that which Wes started, what, 2-3 years ago. It's a great organization. We get together, what, every quarter, every month, something like that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, I think we have communications every month, but we our annual meeting. We have about over 60 organizations now statewide. It's kind of grown. It's kind of nice.
What's really good about it is that there's a lot of different organizations, and I've been involved with senior issues for about, what, 4.5 years now, and I tell everybody, there's a lot of different segments, a lot of great things going on, but there's really no coalition like yours is, where everybody gets together or everybody has that email about what's going on in the community, which is really good.
Yeah.
So, Wes, projects you got?
Yeah. We're talking about projects. The main projects I think relate to advocacy.
Yeah.
Actually, and I think like I mentioned earlier, we realized that we really need to focus on policies and shaping policies because that really does affect all of us. Especially the types of policies that will support the families to make it easier to continue giving care.
Right.
And And so in the past, we've been focusing on areas such as training and education, because we know that as you're caregiving, the number of years that you're caregiving, the need for education changes over time, and so you need to meet those needs. So we've been focusing on that, we've been focusing on coordination, making sure that not only are the policies and what policies coordinated and what's happening at the state and county levels are coordinated, but also making sure that there are enough, that the actual direct services are coordinated as well. So that's another area that we've been focusing on. Balancing work and caregiving, which you kind of talked about a little earlier. Respite care, because we always know that that's the number one thing that people want, is that time off. Because we know how challenging it is and taxing, and you need that time to rejuvenate yourself.
Well, statistics, as what I gather, is they're finding more caregivers pass away before the person they're caregiving for.
In fact,
I'll tell you a story. I do a lot of advertisement with people, and one of my sales girls, she leave every three to four months for like a week to 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, her name's not her Sally. Let's just say her name's Sally. I said, Sally, you got a really good vacation over at this company you work for. He goes, oh, no, I know it's not. I say, what do you mean? He goes, no, I have to go take care of my father in the mainland and give my sister a break because she takes care of him full time. I need a break every 3 or 4 months. So I go there so she can take a whole week or 2 weeks off. And that's my, I have to use all my vacation time, all my medical leave just to do that.
Yeah.
So caregiving is a big thing, and it's got to start with policy and government.
So we've been trying to focus in on raising awareness with legislators and elected officials, because that's where it starts, and you're always having to re-educate them and re-educate and re-educate again. And so, we've done things like this past year, we've held, just before the legislative session, we held an ice cream social, not only for legislators, but for the entire staff of the legislative staff, permanent employees as well as the session employees. It helped us to raise awareness and bring our name out there, start letting people know about what issues we care about. Later on, in the couple months later, we had this giant caregiver fair at the Capitol. We had over 45 exhibitors. We estimate that we had about 700 people show up to learn about what resources were out there. And it also gave us an opportunity to make schedule appointments with legislators and to talk about the issues, but also to have in our scheduled visits, we made sure that we had people who have actually gone through the caregiving experience share their stories, so that this wasn't just an issue that people could, the legislators could actually relate to it. And one of the things we found was that a lot of legislators are caregivers themselves, but they don't identify themselves as caregivers.
Right.
And until they make that shift.
It's like a secret or something like that, you know?
Yeah, it is. And until they make that shift, they don't think it's really an issue that involves themselves.
Or they won't talk about it. Like, I'll take care of it. It's not my problem. I'll give you a perfect example. My financial advisor, one day he tells me, I can't go to this meeting. I said, why not? I said, it's my turn. And I'm going, your turn for what? Because I have to take care of my mom, I have a brother and sister, and they take one day, I have the third day, and I've known him for years, and all this out of the blue, I said, how have you been doing it? Well, for a couple of years.
Yeah.
They didn't even say this to me. So they keep it like a secret.
Yeah.
But it's going to affect everybody. We all have parents. Unless you drop dead of a heart attack or aneurysm, you're going to have to need some form of care. That's why I appreciate all the work you've been doing, Wes, and you've been really getting all these officials and raising awareness. We all need to be out there, even though you may not own a business, but if you're an individual and you've been experienced it, help everybody else share this experience and share your knowledge.
Yeah, that's oftentimes what we hope to do, is share that knowledge and bring that personal touch, because a lot of people, again, don't identify themselves unless you're actually providing the higher levels of care, unless you've had to quit your job, unless you're really bathing your mom, or having to feed, or helping with incontinence. If you're just going to the doctors with them, or maybe preparing meals on occasion, or maybe going to the house and doing some light household work, you don't usually think of yourself. You're just doing that because that's your parents, you're doing that as a spouse. And actually, spouses don't identify themselves either. I mean, that's just their role,
An obligation.
Yeah,
but it's,
exactly.
Well, who teaches you how to do all these kind of things? When I first got involved with aging, one of my clients said, well, do I buy a wheelchair or do I rent a wheelchair? I was like, oh, good question.
Yeah. Well, that's like case managers. Case managers can definitely help answer that, those that have had experience.
So, but issues?
Respite is always one of the top ones, but another one that we haven't mentioned is financial assistance. Because, you know, there's a lot of out-of-pocket expenses that people incur because you're caregiving. And really, frankly, it's expensive. And so what we're trying to do is find alternative ways to help. And some of the different types of, you know, again, going back to policy, some of the different types of things that have been tossed around have been things like a caregiver tax credit, where if you meet certain criteria, you would get back, say, $500 tax credit.
Okay.
It would be like a grant program. They've had this in other states, but I know that in our state it would cost a lot depending on how you format it. But also, you know, you need to administer it, and that's another administrative cost that, you know, I don't think at this point in time with the state's economy, and you know, with that whole 4%, you know, across the board cut, this is not a realistic
So what is going on in Capitol then? Give us a real quick breakdown. What's going on? Some of the things that.
Well, yeah, good question. Because you know, right now, the governor's considering, you know, vetoing several pieces of legislation. One of which actually surprised us in the Aging Network. It was the Family Caregiver Omnibus Bill. In this bill, it's a big one. we talk about financial assistance. This was a way to develop an alternative model of financial assistance called cash and counseling, where you actually receive some type of cash, but you also have like a financial counselor to make sure that you're spending this according to the plan that you've developed for yourself and the person you're caring for. So that's a major one.
That's a model program, from what I understand.
Yes,
right? Another state's doing it, right?
It's been tested across the nation actually.
Oh, really?
As being a very good program that it's a very successful program. It's always been for people. It's always been for Medicaid recipients.
Okay.
And so, what's different about this program here in Hawaii is that because we're focusing on non-Medicaid recipients, it's actually like one of the first in the nation. If we can get this started, Illinois is the only state right now that has a cash and counseling program for non-Medicaid.
Really?
Hawaii is the second state that is trying to develop something, and so this bill basically kind of directs the Office on Aging to do exactly this. Another major, actually critical component of the bill is that it appropriates $500,000 to the Kupuna Care Program. And for those of you who don't know what the Kupuna Care Program is, it's basically services for seniors. The monies go through the state funds go through the different county offices on aging to provide direct services like chore services, assisted transportation, food like Meals on Wheels, case management, chore services. And so these direct services, you know, are valuable. And unfortunately, this bill could be vetoed and would – I shudder when I think about it because we just had a meeting the other day.
Yeah.
If the monies don't go through, you know, it's really going to cause a problem for the agencies, the service providers, and have a real negative impact on the clients themselves.
Well, this morning's paper already said that the Department of Health is going to reduce everything by 10%.
I think the Human Services, right?
Oh, Human Services.
I think, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
So what can the people out there listening or anybody in government or people listening to the show, family caregivers or businesses, what can they do?
Just please contact the governor's office and show your support for the bill and ask her not to veto it. So let it go into law, pass it into law.
And you mentioned there's three politicians that are really stronghold and pushing that.
Yes. Senators Leslie Hara and Suzanne Chun Oakland and Representative Marilyn Lee. They have been just... godsend for us, who have been just true advocates, helping us really navigate, you know, through the legislative process. And we really thank them.
Good, Wes. We're going to come back again. This is Percy Ihara with Wes Lum from Today's Kupuna. We'll be right back after this message.
I'm Linda Delacruz in the Clear Channel News Center. Officials in Omaha, Nebraska expect it will take days to restore power after yesterday's nasty storm. Tens of thousands of customers are still without electricity. Local power officials say it's one of the worst storms they've had to deal with. Here at home, well over 1,000 jellyfish were found this morning along Oahu's south shores. The peak of the influx was supposed to be yesterday. City Emergency Services Department spokesman Brian Sheplick.
We're supposed to show you how unpredictable the box jellyfish influx really is, but yesterday was the expected peak. We only had 400 yesterday.
Ocean safety officials are advising beachgoers to heed all warning signs. Three Hawaii-based Marines died in Iraq's suicide attack that killed more than 20 people. The U.S. Marine Corps says the three were killed Thursday in the town of Karma in the Anbar province of Iraq, about 30 miles west of Baghdad. One was a commanding officer. The Aloha Medical Mission is seeking donations for victims for the typhoon in the Philippines. Monetary donations are needed for the medicine and supplies. Donations can be mailed to the Aloha Medical Mission Typhoon Fund. For more information, you can visit their website, www.alohamedicalmission.org. Sam Choi's restaurant in Kapahulu is closing due to rising costs. The Kapahulu restaurant, which opened 13 years ago, will close tomorrow night. All 25 employees will be offered jobs at Choi's Ivele restaurant. Taking a look at our island weather, it's partly cloudy with isolated showers. The overnight low will be reaching the 70s. Tomorrow, it's going to be partly cloudy with isolated showers. The daytime high will be reaching 88 degrees. Winds will be coming in from the east at about 10 miles per hour. I'm Linda De La Cruz in the Clear Channel News Center.
Focusing on the issues that face seniors and their families. Welcome to Today's Kapuna. Now, here's your host, Percy Ihara.
Welcome back. The show is called Today's Kapuna because it's really about issues that face our seniors today. And as you caught something, when you mentioned something earlier about the Family Caregiver Coalition, it's about the parents that you're caring for, but also about the caregiver, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
really about trying to provide information, resources for the caregiver, because in Hawaii, I believe, they're talking about, what, $1.25 billion in unpaid services that are being provided by the families?
Mm-hmm. $196 billion, I believe.
Wow.
I think, what was that, No, is
that's
that nationwide?
Nationwide. In Hawaii, I believe, is 1.25.
Yeah, that's right.
And
you're
I
right.
Think,
you're right.
We're triple the national average in the amount mm-hmm. of caregivers. I think it's 106,000 mm-hmm. Hawaii caregivers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's a huge problem. But like you said, it's got to start with the policies. But we want to provide now this segment resources out there for the families and caregivers.
Yeah, you know, of course, you know, we always do direct people to the county offices on aging
mm-hmm.
Because, you know, they are, you know, the one-stop shop, basically, to the entry point into the long-term care system here in Hawaii.
Right.
And so we, you know, because there are services for older adults and services for caregivers as well. And so they have some monies. Both state and federal monies to provide these services, and so we always point people to them, and they have their, you know, handbooks. Both you can get them, you know, like Elderly Affairs Division has partnered with the American Savings Bank, and
right.
you can get them there. But you can also get them online, and so
right.
it's a good resource.
And you go to the city and county, elderlyaffairs.com?
Yes.
That's the city and county one?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That'll go directly to their website. You can probably get in from the city and county website as well, but it's called a Senior Information and Assistance Handbook. It comes out every 2 years, and thanks to American Savings for providing that. But it's a really, I carry it all the time with wherever I go.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody has a question.
Yeah, and in addition to the senior information, they also have a caregiver handbook.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, the caregiver handbook, which was just updated, I think, just last year.
Mm-hmm.
They also have, you know, different types of guides, like the a guide for hearing. And they have mm-hmm. a lot of pamphlets that are actually online as well, such as, you know, to have things with, that deal with home modification,
mm-hmm.
You know, communication with family members, because, yeah. you know, that's always a tough issue. You know, so the county offices on aging are always such a great resource. You know, something that Executive Office on Aging actually puts out is called a newsletter called Family Caregiver.
I get that. That's really good. I read it as soon as I get it.
Yeah.
good information. I like the stories. My friend Karen Coles,
yeah.
at least she still writes about she's a former caregiver, but she has an art, has a column in there.
Yeah, she has a column. It's called "It Worked for Me," and it really is because you know, she's been doing caregiving for so long, and she also is the coordinator for the Elder Care Support Group.
Oh, really?
And so they meet every on the fourth Fridays of every Saturday. And so, you know, she has a lot of experiences and things that and knowledge to share. And so she does have this column in the newsletter. And actually, we actually have a compilation of all of her suggestions.
And where is that at?
That can be found on, well, it's best to call the Executive Office on Aging.
586-0100.
Yeah, the reason why is because we would post it online. You know, we actually had the newsletters online, and we had It Worked for Me, the compilation online. But what happened was is EOA, the Executive Office on Aging, is currently changing its website.
Okay.
And so everything is kind of out of place at the moment.
A lot of seniors like to read it over and over and over, and I think call them up, and the newsletter is free.
Newsletter is free.
Just get on their mailing list, and you'll send it out to them every month. Is it every month?
Every month? Quarter, or depending. Sometimes it's three times a year, but most often it's four times a year.
And so, just give them a call. They'll mail it to you, put it on a mailing list. And for a lot of you out there that are actually caregivers or part-time caregivers or helping your neighbor or somebody from church, it's a good resource, and don't be afraid to call them for any kind of questions or help, because I call Lay at City and County.
Yeah.
I call you a lot of times for my clients that need help. But Assistance Handbook from American Savings, I'm not too sure if they have any more left, but they can call these City and County number, the 768-7700 number, mm-hmm. and they may have a few more left. But the newsletter is free, and it's got a lot of good information in there. You're talking about support groups. There's a really good website that you can go to for families that are taking care of their parents. It's called eldercarehawaii.com, run by Deborah Jackson, and she's been a caregiver herself and has this website. It's got even got a calendar, which I have up right now, Wes, we're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
She has a calendar every month of different events going on. I'm looking at it right now. July 1st, there's a Alzheimer's Association. Water Warehouse is doing a Taking Care of Yourself support group on July 1st. Also, you have physical therapy and managing medications at Kapalani Community College on July 1st as well. And Kapuna Connections, I guess, is going to talk about that on their channel, Cable 55, that day. So look in the paper for the Kapuna Connections show. The Central Oahu Caregivers support group run by Rachel Sato and Gary Powell is September 10th.
Mm-hmm.
So you can catch that. Go to eldercarehawaii.com, and they'll give you a calendar. Deborah's got a lot of good stuff on her website as well. But other resource guides?
Of course, you know, the ones put out by the different counties. But, you know, resource guides are a place to start. You know, what I like to at least reiterate with families is, you know, to really be your own advocate. You know, because you are going to get the runaround. You're going to have to make, I think, unfortunately, you know, the system can, you know, we can do a lot to improve the system, the
right.
long-term care system.
Well,
and we are working on it.
The biggest problem, Wes, is that there's so many people out there that need help.
Yeah, yeah.
And so many different facets of caregiving, that from a legal, financial, health care, respite care, Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security, what else can we talk about?
Yeah.
So many different things that, you know, it is. It's difficult.
Yeah, yeah. And you have to be your own advocate. You're going to be making a lot of phone calls.
Uh-huh.
You may be put on a, you know, various wait lists.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, we are working on that behind the scenes. But for you who need the help, then I say be your own advocate, you know, with your physician, with your case manager, you know, whoever you're talking to try to get services, to try to get help. You know, don't be discouraged.
Well, you mentioned case manager. For those of you out there that don't know what a case manager, Wes, why don't you explain what a case manager is?
A case manager is such a great resource. Someone who is very knowledgeable about the different types of resources that are out there, who can kind of coordinate and help you navigate through the system so that you're not doing it alone. They can formulate a plan that's, you know, always changing, and so you're always interacting with your case manager to be able to meet your needs as the needs change over time.
Mm-hmm. And, in fact, if you have HMSA, HMSA has case managers.
Free. Free for its
part
members.
Part of your, as a member. And I believe Kaiser, I met a bunch of girls actually last week, Thursday, at our Hawaii Pacific Gerontological event. Hello, ladies from Kaiser. But they have in-home care, case managers and patient, I guess what they call social workers or care managers over there.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the premium you pay every month for Kaiser HMSA, they have case managers. And really what it is that before you get discharged from the hospital,
mm-hmm.
what kind of care, what kind of things are you going to need? Yeah,
that's yeah really, exactly. To help identify those, the types of services or equipment that you may need.
Right.
And they can help point you in the right direction, what type of business you need to go to, where they're located. They may be able to help determine what you might be able to, what government or what others may be able to pay for it, like if Medicare can pay for something, rather than having the out-of-pocket expenses. So they are familiar with all those aspects. And
Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security.
Yeah, exactly. They help if you need to get on Medicaid. They can help you with that. And so, you know, a lot of different stuff. They can, like again, help you navigate through the system so you don't have to do it alone.
And there's also private pay case managers mm-hmm. that are professionals besides the hospital care managers or case managers. There's also private people that once you get discharged, you know, a month, 2 months, a year down the road, if you still need at home and still need care, you'd probably bring in somebody, I guess they pay by the hour.
Or if they're by the team, you know, the team kind of group goes in and does assessment. And so you may not just have a social worker there, but you also have a nurse, maybe a physician there as well. You know, so it's very valuable if you can make sure that you get that type of help.
Well, it avoids probably a lot of stress. Probably avoids a lot of downtime from work. We have to work all day and
mm-hmm.
takes time out of our daytime. In fact, didn't the Chamber of Commerce do a survey last year about if you're in a business and how many of your employees?
Yes.
How many employees were caring for their parents? What kind of policies that the company has?
Yeah, actually, that's one of the funny that you mentioned that. That's actually a survey that I did.
I thought you did.
Yeah. We worked with it was actually a project that the Executive Office on Aging wanted, so that's something that I did through the university as well. We surveyed members of the Chamber of Commerce of Hawaii, Small Business Hawaii, the Hawaii Business Roundtable, as well as the Hawaii Alliance of Nonprofit Organizations to better understand what type of policies that they have in place, elder care policies that they have in place, and we're trying to figure, you know, to better understand why these policies are in place or not. You know, in place, and not just policies, but practices. And so, you know, one of the interesting things is the policy that's most in place
mm-hmm.
that they say they have is paid bereavement leave.
How long is that?
Pardon me?
How long is paid bereavement?
Well, paid bereavement is, you know, actually after the person, you know, it's actually after the person has passed on.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know exactly how long it is, but while it's important, as part of the whole continuum of caregiving, you know, we found that, you know, it could be a little better because you're focusing in, and at the very end, really the policies and the practices, such as flexible workplaces or, offering types of, you know, education or resources or brown bag, could be done earlier in the stage of caregiving. But that was interesting. And when we actually kind of compare that, we also did another survey of caregivers, and looking at those who are employed, they said that businesses actually really didn't offer the type of services, you know, the policies that they wanted, the flex time mm-hmm. and things like that.
It's tough for businesses today.
Yeah, right? I mean, I can't blame them. Yeah. I can't blame employers because there are so many other things that they have to consider to keep the business mm-hmm. alive and thriving. It's great that most of the policies that we've seen for elder care are informal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great. But at the same time, when it's informal, they're not consistent either, you know. You know, and so that's, you know, there's the pros and cons of having it done that way.
Are they going to do anything more with that survey, or are they going to do another survey, or...?
You know, I'm not sure what's going to happen with, you know, I'm not sure if other research is going to be done in that area. I'm assuming that there will be a little bit more. And the reason is because, you know, one of the main policies that we're trying to look at is paid family leave or some type of wage replacement when someone has to leave the workplace. And, you know, all the employers are really against this.
Well, today, every 10 seconds, somebody turns 62.
Yeah.
So we got to be prepared. We're going to take one more last quick break. We'll be right back. This is Today's Kupuna.
This Saturday and every Saturday, join host Percy Ihara, a senior advocate who has over 17 years of experience as a mortgage professional, with Today's Kupuna, a weekly series focusing on important issues facing seniors and their families. Get involved. Share your thoughts. Call 521-8383 and toll free from the Neighbor Islands at 1-888-565-8383. It's Today's Kupuna on News Radio 830 KHVH. Don't miss it.
Check out Today's Kupuna on television every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. on Olelo's Channel 52. Just like Today's Kupuna on News Radio 830 KHVH, Percy Ihara will have interviews with guests in your community to discuss very important issues facing our Kupuna and their families. So hey, tell your friends and neighbors and spread the word. Today's Kupuna on Olelo Channel 52 and News Radio 830 KHVH. And check out KHVH830AM.com.
Hey, you with the rumbling tummy. What's for dinner tonight? My name's Sat, short for saturated fat. And I love it when you eat the foods I'm in, like cheeseburgers and pizza.
Move over, brother. I'm trans, the bad fat you've seen on the news. Might I tempt you with some crispy fried chicken and fluffy biscuits?
Come on, get into your cravings.
We can't wait to raise your bad cholesterol.
And clog up your arteries.
The Bad Fats Brothers. Don't let them break your heart. Learn more at AmericanHeart.org/facethefats.
Aloha, this is Brian Schatz, Executive Director of Helping Hands Hawaii, one of Oahu's largest social service agencies. We help hundreds of moms every month with diapers, beds, bus passes, desks, chairs, and whatever they need to keep their families together and their lives in order. We need your help. Please call the Helping Hands Community Clearinghouse if you have a household item to give away. We'll even come to pick it up. Call us at 536-7234 or visit helpinghandshawaii.org. Thanks.
Now back to Today's Kupuna with Percy Ihara. Call 521-8383 and toll free from the Neighbor Islands, 888-565-8383.
Welcome back. This is Percy Ihara, the host of Today's Kupuna. We're here each Saturday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. And give us a call when you get a chance if you have anything regarding aging issues. And today we're here with Wes Lum from the Hawaii Family Caregiver Coalition. Wes, we're talking about aging issues, obviously. Future projects, I know there's what's called the ADRC, which a lot of people don't know what that is. Can you explain that, that is for not?
ADRC stands for the Aging and Disability Resource Center. And Hawaii received a grant from a federal grant, basically, a couple of years ago to develop these centers. It's really supposed to be the one-stop shop for aging and disability services. And so, excuse me, sorry about that. We're actually really excited because the Hawaii County at the old Suntan Lau restaurant in Hilo, is going to be the first physical ADRC site for our state.
And then the nation.
Maybe the second or third in the nation, actually, because most, you know, Hawaii's not the first state to receive these grants or to build ADRCs, but most of the ADRCs across the nation are electronic based, so they're either
on internet,
or by phone. And so Hawaii is actually going to be one of the first physical sites. And what's great about it is that it. It's going to be pulling in together, you know, the County Office on Aging, Department of Human Services to talk for Medicaid services, a few disability groups. Basically, a lot of the services are right there. It's all in
the one-stop
place.
Shop.
It's all in one place.
In fact, it's for seniors, for Hilo. It's a one-stop shop. But why don't we go ahead and take a question from Harold and Kalihi. Harold, you had a question about Medicare qualifications?
Yes, I do. When the husband is disabled and the wife still resides in the home,
okay,
isn't there a way they could still qualify? I think if the cash or assets are... under 100,000.
Okay, well, you're talking about Medicaid.
Yeah,
you probably have to call the state of Hawaii's Medicaid division. What it is is that qualification-wise, if you have a piece of real estate, you can call them. I believe you have to have less than 500,000 equity. For couples, I believe it's 104,000 combined. Most of Medicaid, though, Harold, is for care outside of the home. There is one program called Nursing Without Walls that does in-home care, but you have to qualify for that. So I'd probably tell you call the Medicaid West is under the Department of Health or
Human Services.
Department of Human Services. Give them a call. They'll probably route you to a case manager. You need to fill out a questionnaire application, but yeah, you can qualify for as long as your assets are within line with the qualifications. But you know, this is for Medicaid now. That's not Medicare.
Yeah, Medicaid. You're right. Yeah. You mentioned that there's 100,000 or 104,000.
104,000 combined financial assets, IRAs, checking account, bank accounts, things like that.
Cash type items.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, and then the 500,000 for the house is separate.
Yeah, it's the house. It's now an accountable asset. So as long as you have less than 500,000 in equity
uh-huh.
in the home.
Okay. Now, the 500,000, there are talks that it's going to be increased to 700,000?
Well, there is a understanding that, yeah, for Hawaii or any state can raise it to 750,000. But the state hasn't done that quite yet. Actually, the state has not revised their statutes on Medicaid qualifications. When the statutes were changed and the federal laws changed, I think, 2006. But I think that's kind of like the rule of thumb they use, Harold. But I'd probably tell you, give them a call. Applying for Medicaid will take a little time. I'd probably tell you 3 to 4 months, maybe longer sometimes, depending on the case load, because they're all backed up. When you think about it, Harold, we have a lot more people going to need Medicaid. There's a lot more people that are getting up in age. Actually, the fastest growing age group is 85 plus. So when you have an increased amount of people that need care, actually the amount of caregivers are going down and the amount of beds are going to go down compared to our population rising in the next, 20 years west. I think the age over 65 is going to double. The amount mm-hmm. of people over mm-hmm. 65 are going to double next 20 years. So, Harold, I would probably tell you, look at it now. Give them a call. Depending on which hospital you're with, or HMSA or Kaiser, ask them if they're the case manager. They can refer you to somebody, and they can help you walk you through those steps, because it is, I don't want to use the word, you got to jump through hula hoops, but there are a number of steps you have to take before you can qualify for Medicaid. And I recommend you start this process today or tomorrow, Monday when Monday comes around.
Okay.
Okay.
Department of Human Services, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And well, almost if your home is valued over that 500,000, you don't qualify at all. Or
it's actually net real estate assets. So I'll give you an idea. If you have a rally property that's worth 600,000, net 500,000. So any mortgage less than 600,000. So if you have a $100,000 mortgage
uh-huh.
obligation on a property and your house is worth 600,000. Then you're within that 500,000 threshold. You follow me there?
Right, but what if the net is over the 500,000?
Then I think Medicaid would probably tell you, get a mortgage.
Oh, then you won't qualify for a Medicaid immediately then?
No, you probably have to get a mortgage because it's the net equity of the home, any value minus any obligations on the property.
I see.
So, I mean, nothing wrong with that. I mean, just get a mortgage, at least you can qualify.
Just reduce the...
Yeah. The look back period, in other words, if you gave away any assets as well, is now 5 years, not 3 years anymore.
Oh.
There is a penalty if you give away any assets, it is financial or part of your property. Let's say you give your son 5% or 25%, they're going to hit you with that. Also, one of the biggest things I don't like about Medicaid, and it's not a point where I don't like it, it's just this law in Hawaii, is that your property cannot be in trust. It has to be taken out of trust.
Yeah. You mean the revocable trust?
Yeah. It has to be in your own name. And actually, did you listen to Rowan Young today? Between 3 and 4 o'clock every Saturday afternoon before my show, Rowan Young is a tax attorney, and he does estate planning, and he's actually a few of his clients are my clients. And so I'd probably tell you next week, give him a call. Rowan's very versed on Medicaid, and he knows all the loopholes and all the things to help you qualify, but you might want to, or talk to your attorney right now that did your trust.
Uh-huh.
Find a way, but that's my understanding, unless I'm wrong, but you can ask Medicaid about that. You probably cannot be in trust, so. Best bet, if you don't want to waste any time, just wait next Saturday, 3 to 4, and call Rowan Young.
Okay.
The call-in number is the same, 521-8383.
Okay.
Thanks, Harold, for the question. So, Wes, we got a few more minutes here. Any last regard questions, comments you can have for our audience out there? Great tips.
The top of mind, what's on my mind right now is those services that are going to be lost
potentially
if the governor vetoes, the caregiver omnibus bill, Senate Bill 2830.
Is there a deadline down that where they can call?
Please try to call before July 3rd, this Thursday, because as we know, Friday's a holiday.
Okay.
Because the governor has until July 8th to veto the measure or not veto the measure, but we want to try to encourage her to get that into law because it's such an important bill.
Yeah,
I mean, it covers so many different areas.
Yeah.
That $500,000, it also increases payments to care home operators as well. And, you know, that's such another vital part of the industry, we need to support them as well.
Well, you kind of got me interested in a cash-in counseling. Is that part of that same bill as well?
Yeah, actually it is.
That's a big one.
That is a big one because it's designing this new program. It's basically a really an alternative way of providing care and services. The biggie is allowing families to get paid for their
taking
work.
Taking care of their parents.
Yeah. Man, you can't do that right now, at least not legally.
Legally.
So that's the real importance of cash and counseling because, we know that, in the way that it's currently planning on being designed, of course, this is for non-Medicaid people.
Right.
But if you are getting paid, there's someone to administer the program to take out, those taxes that the employers would usually take care of, for the federal taxes and state taxes and all that you don't have to worry about.
Well, in Harold's case, he was talking about trying to get Medicaid for his wife. If he took care of his wife, if this plan went through, he could get paid to take care of his wife.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be a substantial amount, but it's going to be helpful.
Anything better.
Yeah, and again, it's going to help. It will put aside money. The money that's taken out are going to be put aside for Social Security, and other pensions. So it's a fairly good program. We just need to figure out how it's going to work here in Hawaii. And of course, part of it is evaluating and testing how it's going to differ from the current system of services through our Kapuna Care program.
You wanted to finish up the ADRC, that's in Hilo,
mm-hmm.
and that's a one-stop shop for seniors, anything regarding seniors, actually, they can probably get
information. Or people with disabilities of any age.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Is Oahu going to have anything, or what are we looking at?
Oahu should be having something up hopefully by the end of the year, but that's going to be electronic.
Like website
or call-in. And then the other two counties, Maui and Kauai, will be following after that.
Okay.
So
how can they get involved? They give you a call because they can be part of the Hawaii Family Caregiver Coalition.
They can be part of it and receive, the information that we currently, that we send out.
They call the 586-0100 number.
That's correct.
Then if you have email or if you need an address, they can mail you information. And I think we all need to be part of this coalition. We all need to be part of helping each other out because whether it's just your wife, like Harold's situation, or some of your neighbor, or like the church, or my mm-hmm. church I belong to, Honolulu Christian in Manoa, we have an 80-plus club, which goes out to lunch, I believe, every month.
Wow.
And
yeah.
It's a pretty good-sized group, and they're very active. But we're all going to need some form of care. Aging is a big deal, big
mm-hmm.
thing. So
mm-hmm.
you got a few seconds left. Wes, anything else?
No, thank you for having me. It's been fun.
Yeah. Well, listen, ladies and gentlemen, we're here every Saturday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. on AM 830. Tell your friends, neighbors, people at church. And aloha. I did want to wish Kathleen, my niece, graduating today and having a party tonight. Happy graduation. We'll see you next week. Aloha.